devotion for tonight is The Lord Shall Fight for Thee. This series of messages serving our faithful God on the life of Elisha. Three thoughts that we want to consider in these verses. Stumbling while fighting our own battle, verses 1 to 10. Stirring to seek the Lord for help. Seeing the verses 11 to 19 and seeing the deliverance of the Lord, verses 20 to 27. The guidance of God towards his people is certain and sure. They are but to seek him to experience his goodness. The psalmist says, "Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." Pause and ponder this wonderful promise of help to all his weary children. There is help in God. You can come to him and find support, strength that you never know of. Our Lord is just a call away. The psalmist experienced God as a safe refuge to all who seek him. So we are exhorted to trust him. He can be trusted at all times, especially in those times of perplexity. And we all have experienced perplexities in life. When we reach crossroads, when we reach come to situations where we don't have an answer, it's a perplexity and we don't know what to do. But we can call upon the Lord, and we all have experienced how he never failed to lead and guide us, to show us the way. Prayer invokes God's omnipotent hand to intervene and order life aright for us. In a time when, in Israel, when worship of the living and true God of Israel has been diluted and compromised by idolatry, and when faith in God is wanting, God raised prophets in Israel to help his people come back to him. The prophets were like beacons of light to the people. Elisha was such a man whom God called to serve him in the midst of such gross darkness. He had begun his ministry when his mentor left behind. Or when his mentor was caught up to heaven, miraculously, Elisha began his ministry, as we saw last week, with three recorded miracles in 2 Kings chapter 2. And God showed himself powerful to his people. And why is it that we spend time to rehearse these? Because this is the same God whom we serve, and this is the same God whom we experience to be faithful when we put our trust in him. And so we will see throughout Elisha's life, 60 years of ministry, not short, very long, how God was faithful. And God proved himself faithful to Elisha. And we shall see how God is always a present help to Elisha as he endeavored to help God's people to seek their God and rebuild their weak spiritual lives. God had to raise men and women of faith in order that the people of God may be directed to the ways of faith. If they don't have examples, then where are they going to learn faith? And God bring us to the study of his word bring us to, you know, set time apart in order to pray, so that we can be the men and women of God that He wants us to be examples to the people of God, so that when they see us, they are able to understand a little bit about life walking with God. And this was what Elijah sought to do. And you will see that he was a dependable servant of the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It was during the time of Jehoram, his reign, the son of Ahab, king of the northern kingdom, that this event took place. What event is this? As we have read in our text in 2 Kings 3, it's the rebellion of the Moabites. Right? When they rebelled, they threatened the security of Israel. If you look at the map, Moab is just down south by the Dead Sea. Okay, and you would be able to see that they are indeed a formidable force. Okay. And in the south, Jehoshaphat was the ruler. He was king over Judah and Benjamin, two of the tribes. And when we see that an alliance was quickly formed, when Jehoram, the northern king, sought the help of the southern king in Judah and the king of Edom. Right? Edom, if you go to the Israel, you'll be able to see the land of Edom across the Dead Sea, or overlooking the Dead Sea. Right? It is a red mountain range. A red mountain range. Right? You see that the Esau was the red-haired one. This is that's what the guide, help us to remember, right? this place of Edom. And so Edom was involved, the northern kingdoms were involved, the southern king was involved in this alliance. Okay, there would be an ensuing battle, and we shall see how God was not in the battle plan initially. They went into battle without seeking God. And how God came into the picture through the prophet Elisha. And how the tables were turned. The battle was won against the Moabites with God's help. This chapter is an encouragement for God's people to seek God. You know that God, in Him, is fullness of wisdom. When we rely upon our own wisdom, we stumble and fall. Right? Stumbling while fighting our own battle is the first thought from verses 1 to 10. Right? Our story begins with the introduction of Jehoram as the king of Israel who took over from Ahab. Right? Verse 1 says, "Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years." Not a very long reign, right? 12 years God gave him. "And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother." Who were his father and mother? Ahab and Jezebel. We all know who they are. The infamous or the notorious couple. And God was not pleased with his reign, as you see in the text. The Lord says he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. But he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. So there was some saving grace in his life, right? But he could not get away from the calf worship system that was set up by the first king, Jehoram. when the Northern Kingdom began. So many, many generations later, right, this golden calf worship was set up, right, in Samaria, two places in Bethel, and it is a picture, right, of the first rebellion that took place when Israel was in the wilderness. Moses was up in the mountain, and Aaron was the leader, right, of the first calf worship. What did he do? He built a golden calf, and he led the people in great immoral worship, right, of this image. And when Moses came down, he stopped them. So this is like a resurrection of those kind of a worship that took place. So we see here that the story, verse 4 tells us, Mishal, king of Moab, was a shipmaster, and he paid tribute to the king of Israel with 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams and with wool. And this took place for many years until Ahab died. When Ahab died, they stopped. They rebelled against the king of Israel. And so we see here how Moab was a vassal state of Israel. And they paid tribute with their chief produce and until Ahab died. And when they stopped giving the tribute, Israel lost a good source of tribute income, right? And this led to a battle. You see that the Lord was not sought. It was Jehoram's initiative. What did he do? Well, he said he was angry. Angry with them. Right? How dare you do this? And so he went out and, verse 6 says, counted all Israel. By the arms of flesh, he thought that he could win his battle. So he counted his men. That's what we always do, right? When we are faced with a problem, right, we would check, you know, our resources or, you know, weigh the situation like a good chess player, right? Appreciate the ground, see all the things, then we say, maybe we are safe, or maybe we are not that safe. But a man of God would first take the matter to God in prayer. Lord, what have you for me to do? You see a difference there. So by the arms of flesh, he thought he would win the battle. So he took stock of the military might, of his military might, by counting the number of soldiers he has. And the next thing he do, right, in the flesh, next thing you do is that you find your friends, right, form an alliance. That's what worldly kings would do. Form an alliance. Strengthen your army. And that's what he did. He went to Judah and he went to the Edomites and he found friend in both of them. Right? Moab became their common enemy, and so they rallied themselves together, and as you see, Jehoshaphat was someone who was always ready to lend a helping hand. And he came, and what did he do? Well, he joined up with them, and verse 8 says, which way shall we go? And straight away an answer came, the way through the wilderness of Edom. And so they came together and they hatched their battle plan and they went to war. You see that God is not in the picture up to this point in time. They knew, they thought they knew what to do. And this is who we are in the flesh. If we are not filled with the Spirit, we would seek to do things without praying and asking God what we should do. So the Christian disposition, the disposition of a godly man, is different. We would not move unless God would command. And this we must cultivate as a lifestyle so that we may always be in the Spirit to discern the will of God. The mind of God could be very different from what we are thinking. And if we are not quiet before God, we can be misguided. And the Lord doesn't want us to be misguided. Israel, the king of Israel is, holds the name of God, the favor of God. And yet, as king, he did not seek God. Right? And then they came to a problem. The soldiers, they ran out of water, and they were in a situation whereby they would perish in that southern desert area without a proper water source. Right? And so Jehoshaphat, you can see that he was someone who still had God in his heart and in his mind. He told the others, "Is there not a God in Israel? Is there not a prophet whom we can inquire for us? Do we not have God's word in our hands? Does it take that much of a difficulty for us to look into the Word of God, what it says, before we act? Why didn't you come to the God of Israel?" You see here that men working on their own strength find themselves wanting. So we would be stuck, right? If you fight battles with the arms of flesh, no way you can win, because the enemy, has a stronger arm in the flesh. And you see here the sanctifying influence of a man of God, right? Jehoshaphat. We wouldn't say he's a great man of faith, but he has enough spiritual sense to tell them, "Hey, please seek God, find help with God's prophet." And so they humbled themselves, and the three kings came before Elisha. It's so interesting. Elisha, who is Elisha? Elisha was no one. Nobody knows who Elisha is. Elisha became known when God worked through his life. When we surrender our lives to God, then God's power can come in our hearts. And that was what happened for Elisha. And they came before him, and he had to provide the way out for them. And with God, is there not a way out? Of course, there's a way out with God. When we seek Him, we'll find help, present help, in times of trouble. And Elisha said in verse 14, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely will it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, I would not look toward thee nor see thee." So, you know, Jehoram came, and, you know, Elisha didn't mince his words. Right? He saw that he was not a good fella, and he told him off. I wouldn't have the, you know, I know what you're made up of. What is your motive? Why you want to go after Moab? But for Jehoshaphat, I would help you. So he came and he provided the solution. What did he do? He says, "Bring me a minstrel, a singer, who sings to musical instrument accompaniment." What did he do? Well, he sought to worship God first. When we praise God, when we spend time with Him, we bring our worries to Him in worship, and in return He gives to us His wisdom. That's the secret of success for God's people. Sometimes we think worship is, you know, what is worship? It's such a, you know, simple thing, right? You come to the hall, you sit down and you sing, you stand up and you sit down, and you stand up and you sit down, you know. We don't understand. If we have not understood the communion we have with God in worship, we come before the presence of God, and in the presence of God we find the wisdom of God. We experience the sanctifying power of God. When we worship God, we give to Him our worries, and in return we receive His wisdom. When we worship God, it brings the restless and the unsettled heart to a state of rest and trust. And that is what we need to have as a people of God. You know, and we don't wait until Sunday, 1.5 hours that we come before God to find rest. Right? Our worship of God is a moment by moment, daily event, right, whereby we are in communion with God all the time. Paul says, "Pray unceasingly." Why is he praying unceasingly? Because he saw his need unceasingly. Right? If you are walking with God, you will be sensitive to the dangers that you are facing, and you dare not leave His presence. You dare not, because you have been attacked before. Each time you leave His presence, you fall. And therefore, you learn to abide in the presence of God all the time. And so, here, when they came to God, God provided the solution. When we worship God, as the music is being played, as the hymn is being sung, as the words of worship are being enunciated, we see the presence of God, how it calms the heart, and brings the soul to a state whereby it is ready to receive wisdom. And so the words came. Make this valley full of ditches. And this is what the Lord provided for them. Dig holes all over this valley, and I will bring water to fill them up, and you will receive your supply. And what else? The Lord says, if this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord, right? They are talking about desert area. Okay? To bring water, to direct a water supply would be a miracle. Right? You realize that when you serve God, God is working in quiet miracles throughout your life. How you can go about living your life, right, receiving protection from God, you don't know, right, what God is doing for you. You don't know. You know, if our eyes are open to the spiritual dangers that we are facing, then we would realize that, wow, it's, you know, we are really well protected, well guarded by God. God heard the prayer of Elisha. Just like Elijah, who prayed for rain, God gave the rain. Elisha prayed for water, God gave the water. They dig trenches in the valley, and God caused the water to be flowed, to flow. And God would also tell them that he would deliver them from the hand of the Moabites. See, God is going to fight for them. So you contrast the two scenarios. When they went in the arms of the flesh, they were stuck. But when they sought the Lord opened the way. And this is how we ought to fight God's battle. On our knees, in the spirit. Third thought, from verse 20 to 27. Seeing the deliverance of the Lord. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered. So an offering was, a morning sacrifice was made by Elisha. And God caused water to fill the trenches. Behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Where did the water come from? You want to serve the Lord. He said, we need resources. Where did the resources come from? From the Lord. They sought the Lord. They called upon the Lord. It was the will of the Lord. Resources came. Right? They were nourished. A miracle was wrought to cause the Moabite army to see the pool of water as blood. So this was the divine phenomenon that took place, you know. Right? Verse 21 and 22. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that was able to put, that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. So they were all in battle order. They were ready to strike, right, their weapons in their hands. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the side as red as blood. So when they saw the enemy camp filled with blood, they thought that the enemies must have fought one against another and killed themselves. So they thought that, you know, they would have won the battle without beginning a battle, without having to fight the battle. But the Moabites were sorely mistaken. They did not realize that the coalition were waiting for them to make the move. So God gave the military strategy, just like God gave the strategy to take Jericho. Right? God gave the divine plan. And God always provide, right, by His way, a unique, different way. You know, you can always count on Him. And you will always be pleasantly surprised when God intervenes. But oftentimes we have to seek the will of God in prayer. And sometimes it takes time to pray, to seek God's will, to wait upon God, to know what is His will, you know, to be before Him, to know what to do. And if we are not quiet before God, you won't know. So, the Moabite king thought he would overturn, he would defeat, you know, them, and they went in for the kill. And they were surprised that there was an ambush waiting for them. And so the counter-attack took place, and they were able to subdue the Moabites. And in desperation, the Moabite king offered his eldest son as a sacrifice to their god, Chemosh, as a supreme act of devotion to their pagan deity. Elisha provided a sanctifying influence to preserve the nation of Israel and Judah from the ravages of a Moabite invasion. Now, every time there is a war, you'll find that there will be devastation. It will take a long time to rebuild again. And God gave them the victory. God is still on the throne. Indeed, we saw a faithful God who takes care of His own, providing them opportunities of His grace that they may come to repentance. The king of Israel saw the hand of Israel's God delivering them. Did it not move his heart? Well, God fought for the coalition to give them the victory. So we see here the reality of a problem-solving God. We can come to Him for help and find help indeed. Stumbling while fighting our own battle, stirred to seek the Lord for help, and seeing the deliverance of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for thee. May we take heart to continue in this new year to seek the Lord, seek His wisdom, seek His mind, seek His provision, and be happily blessed by His presence. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for providing us this text to show us how we have a God who is so able to help us. And Lord, how we have not sought Thee as we ought. Lord, may Thou help us to realize where true help comes, and indeed may Thy people find their needful help, provision, sustenance throughout this remaining week. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.